It's interesting to finish with that song, or to sing it at that point, because the very last verse in our section of scripture today in the Amplified says this: religious worship that is pure and unblemished in the sight of God is to visit and help and care for orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted and uncontaminated from the world. So we can worship here, but there's a challenge for where the rubber hits the road in actually expressing our worship to the world. And that's the last verse today. I hope you've all got your action and reaction little sheet. James is a very comparative person in the sense that faith and works have to go together. He doesn't have one without the other. They have to go together. So he draws together a number of things, and that's what I've hopefully done today. One of the interesting things is that early in some Christian activity, this was recognised very clearly. And our friends, William and Catherine Booth, the founders of the Salvation Army, were very keen to make sure that faith and action went together. And they were from a Methodist tradition, but rather sadly, their main converts, well, sadly, but wonderfully, their main converts were alcoholics, morphine addicts, prostitutes and other undesirables, unwelcome in public, polite Christian society. So these people who became converts were not welcome in the Methodist Church. They weren't wanted because they were undesirable. So William and Catherine Booth, founders of the Salvation Army, never wanted to start a church. They wanted to bring people into the established church, but the church didn't want them. So what did they do? Well, they started the Salvation Army. There was a bit of a triple S for the Salvation Army. It was soup, soap, and salvation. Those three went together for the Booths because they said, no one wants to hear the gospel on an empty stomach, so we need to provide soup. No one wants to hear the gospel when everyone's smelly, so they provided soap. But people need to hear the gospel, so there's salvation. And stories have told, of course, that because no one wanted them in their church, certainly not in the Methodist church of the day, that when William Booth got a building where they were going to meet, he'd walk around on the Saturday night and throw bricks through a few windows so that the smell wouldn't overpower people who came along because they were the down and outs of society. Friends, isn't this what the Bible is saying to us? That it's really the outsiders that we need to be welcoming or going out to. You would be aware, if you've had anything to do with salvos, that everyone loves them. I collect for them each year. There's never a nasty word said, even if someone doesn't want to give money. They'll say, oh, the salvos, yeah, this is what they did during the war, this is what they do now. Everyone knows them and seems to love them. They don't have communion, they don't have baptism or something like that, because they didn't want to be a church. They didn't want alcohol because Catherine used to say, alcohol is evil and we don't want to be engaged in anything that could be seen as evil. Now, you make up your own opinion, but that was her view. And of course, they came and brought people from alcoholic backgrounds, and their ministry in Australia is still often with people who are there under trees in Whitmore Square. So These are the people who said, we need to put the rubber and the road together. We need to put into practice what we believe. And the Selvos still do that. I understand that in UK, they are the largest non-government social service provider. And in Australia, they're the fourth biggest. Incredible that those people from the Christian church have such influence and power. William and Catherine Booth, two people who said, we've got salvation, we need to give soup, let's put them together. And in a way, that's what God says to us today in this section of Scripture. So, chapter 1, verse 12. Last week, Dion introduced James, and these were perhaps some of the words. My encouragement to you is to read through the book of James this week. It's only skinny. It's only a little. It won't take you long to read. Trials and temptations. These two things go together. And we need to have a look at what we're learning or seeing today. Depending on your translation, it might be blessed or happy is the man or the person who trusts not only in the Lord but perseveres. Friends, this little book is a book that says, keep on, keep on. You Christians who have started, keep on. And steadfast is one of those key words. It says there in chapter 12, endures trial. This is not enduring outside trial. This is evil, an opposition. This is what we resist. We don't endure evil. We don't put up with evil. All right? We don't put up with evil. We resist. We stand against evil. We resist temptation. We need to be careful. Tried, not tempted. Satan tempts, and you can see there what I've got. Satan tempts us. Why? Because he wants us to sin and fall away. So when temptation comes, know what's happening. Temptation is going to lead to sin, is going to lead to a collapse of Christian faith. Not so with a trial. God tests us. Yeah, we mightn't like that. But when he's proven us, then we are more like Jesus. Do we expect to walk through life just with sunshine and no rain? What a desert we would live in. No. So, sunshine, rain, come together from God so that we grow as believers. God tests. Let's be careful, because I've got up there in Romans 1. What happened? Those people said, oh, we're not going to believe in God anymore. We'll make some statues out of wood. We'll do this. We'll make our own gods. And as a result, they went down in a spiral. And as a result, God just said, well, you've made this choice, follow it through. And friends, this isn't God making us do things. This is people, maybe like us, following through with decisions that we have made. Once we lose a focus on God, then all else falls away. And this is what's happening here. So God just gives them up. Yep, people are lured or enticed by their own desire. It's a bit like, I think, fishing. For those of you who fish or have watched people, particularly fly fishing, they make incredible lures to look like insects or something else that a fish is going to bite at. And then when they cast, they just hope that the fish is lured and attracted. Same with sin. We are lured and attracted. And before we know it, we've bitten and we're hooked. So let's be warned, let's be careful. Let's be very much aware of what God is saying here. He uses an interesting illustration in verse 15. Desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings death. Now, just like conception, can you be half pregnant? No, well, you can't. So, once there's a conception, it just follows through in its natural course until there's a baby. And then once there's a baby, life changes completely. And once there's a baby, then as that child grows up through to adulthood. And so James says, just the same as with sin, when you conceive of it in your mind, and that's where it begins, will I do it, won't I do it, will I go down that path, won't I go down that path, boom, once we've decided there, it's put into action. No one might see what's going on initially. A bit like no one knows you're pregnant. And then all of a sudden, begins to show. And all of a sudden, sin begins to show. And that just does its natural course and takes it through to spiritual death. So friends, James says, be warned. Trials and temptations go together. Satan didn't make us do it. Let's get that right. Satan might tempt us. Satan might try every trick. But we made the decision. And I've got up there two quotes. Pardon me. One is from Philippians. Whatever is true, pure, honourable, think about those things. And the other one is an old chorus that many of you probably know. The name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower. So when there is temptation, think in a certain way. And when there is temptation, go to God. That's the only answer. Think pure, go to God. Temptation, action and reaction. The challenge comes, what is our reaction? Well, it can be either an action for or an action against. An action to go into temptation, into sin, or an action against. We need to be careful. Then there is shadow and light. God is the author of every good and perfect gift. It comes from the Father of light. There is nothing shady about God. Light and darkness. We all know if we're in a dark room what it's like. Switch on the light, boom, and that's God. There is nothing shady. At the end this morning when I've finished, we're going to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. And in that hymn there is a line that says, there is no shadow of turning with thee. That's why I've asked for us to sing it, because that's true. There is no shadow of turning with God. He doesn't change. Nor are there any dark corners with God. There is nothing shady or underhanded. God is open and that's it. So every good and perfect gift comes from God. Evil comes from one who would tempt us. So we need to realise that. Where is this coming from? Is it coming from the Father of Lights, or is it coming from the opposition? God is light, John says, and in him is no darkness. And the word of truth. What we're going to see, and I think I've got it right at the end, is the word deception or deceive. That runs through this little section of scripture. Please be careful not to be deceived or tricked, because it is very easy. One of Satan's tricks is deception. He comes as an angel of light. Hello, yes, I'm the answer. But actually, he's not. So let's be careful. He is not the angel of light. He is darkness. God is light, and in him there's there no shadow of turning. Hearers and speakers, this comparison, we need to be careful. Know this, my brothers and sisters, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of a person does not work with the righteousness of God. I worked with a lady. She was a Christian counsellor, Sheila, and she said that the main emotion of Australian men is anger. Now, I don't know whether we'd agree with that, but that's what she said. The main emotion of Australian men is anger. In a church meeting, we can say whatever we like, but the manner with which we say it is the key. So if we want to express something, I'm not happy about this, or I don't think we should do it this way, or that's fine. But if we do it that I do it my way, and it's only my way, and you will have to... I'm not really interested. I don't cope at all with angry people. Go away and go somewhere else. And we need to think very carefully, very carefully. If we believe we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit and we are people of God's spirit or manner, let's be careful. Because what do we see there? The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, going right through to self-control. So don't tell me that you're filled with God's Holy Spirit if you're full of anger, because they just can't go together. Self-control is controlling that anger. Now, we can be upset and angry about the things that upset God. Injustice, inhumanity, domestic violence, all of those things we need to be angry about in a certain way. But that's not anger between each other. And we need to be careful about that. We need to be very careful. Two ears, people have always said. So we listen twice as much as we speak. We need to be careful. After all, in church life, a lot more is said than done. And we need to be careful about that. People are normally pretty good at speaking, but not everyone's good at listening. It's wonderful when you find someone who not only listens, but who takes in what you're saying. And they're not just waiting to pounce with the next question or to put in their bit. It's interesting when you find someone who listens and then absorbs what you're saying and is able to respond intelligently. Jesus was very good at listening to people. And friends, we need to be good listeners, careful and thoughtful listeners. I've got their resentment, vengeance, retaliation. That has no part in Christian life. If we're going to be truthful, it's a yes, it's a no, it's a direct response to a person. That's how we speak. So we hear, we speak, but we are very careful about those things. Where do we go from here? Well, we're doers and we're hearers of the word. But be doers of the word in verse 22 and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That's where we need to be careful about that deception. And this is not being deceived by evil, it's being stupid ourselves. It's being stupid yourself. For if anyone is a hearer and not a doer, It's like a person who observes their natural face in the mirror. I'm not sure what's natural when you walk through the ground floor of David Jones or Myers. I sometimes stood and looked at some of those women, and with all that makeup on, and you know, they're doing their lips again, and I'm thinking, what do you really look like of a morning when you get out of bed? What do you really look like before you've put all that stuff on? And when you stand there for 10 minutes, they perhaps put the face on two or three times, a bit more, and I'm thinking, this is just weird. But let me warn you, don't walk through Myers or David Jones on the ground floor with twin sons, because in their teens they fall on the floor and pretend that they're as if they're going to die. So it's just better for Dad to walk on and pretend he doesn't know them and just leave them there. But yes, it's wonderful having twin sons, but they can be an embarrassment sometimes. Yeah. But you know what I mean? I am just amazed at what those people do, ladies. But I'm sure men, some men do the same too. But what does the Bible say here? And isn't this true? If anyone is a hearer, I'm in verse 23, is a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like a person who observes his or her natural face in the mirror and then goes away and forgets what they saw. Now, I think there are some people who look in the mirror of a morning and go, oh, right, and straight away, let's forget what I saw. But we get the picture, don't we? That this person looks in the mirror and off they go and they forget. The other person, however, doesn't look in the mirror, but looks into the perfect law of God, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no longer just a hearer that forgets, but a doer that acts. And they will be blessed in their doing. You know, it's been said of the Christian church that if we had put into practice what Jesus had asked, the world would have been converted long ago. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But friends, we need to take seriously to look at God's word, see ourselves reflected, but also see what God is saying to us, and then put into practice what we can. To put into practice, and not just walk away, oh, well, that's for everyone else. I've said before about our friend Judy, who used to sit in the front row. And she said, Dad always told me to sit in the front row because the message is for everyone behind. And we need to realise that actually the message, when we look at it, is not for everyone else. It's for each one of us. And we need to take that seriously. Both look, I've got there. Both look. But one unfortunately looks at themselves and one looks at the law of God. So we need to be not only hearers, but lookers and then doers. So friends, let's make sure that we look. Christianity is essentially a life to be lived. It has got nothing to do with having a theory of Christianity. A lot of people know about God, but it's the people in the church who claim to be Christians who listen and then put it into practice. Don't look and forget, friends, like what you might see in the morning, squeezing a pimple or something, but be a person who looks at the word of God and says, what does this mean for me? And how can I put this into practice? And then do it. And the last comparison are words and works. Now, this is an interesting challenge, this one, because what James is saying is this. If you think you are a godly person or a Christian, but you can't control your tongue, you've got it wrong. I wonder how many people have left the church because someone else has spoken to them in an inappropriate way. I think quite a few people. Or there's been an upset or an argument or something. Friends, we need to be careful. We need to speak truth, but we need to speak it lovingly. We need to be peacemakers, but not peace at any price. We need to be careful about what we say. And we certainly need to be careful about talking about people without talking to them first. We don't have any right, do we, to talk about each other unless we've talked to the person first? So if I've got a grievance about someone, I need to talk to that person, not to take it to the prayer meeting so that everyone hears about it, but to speak to that person. So what is James saying? He's saying very simply this. If you say you're a Christian, but you can't control your tongue, you've missed the point. We need to be very careful. That can be linked, of course, with being angry. We need to be careful there as well. And then the very last little bit where he says, as I started with, the practical expression. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, this is in another translation, is to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, which of course the Salvos did and still do incredibly, and to keep oneself unstained or pure. Now, most of us know what it's like for a stain to get onto something, for a stain to get onto a piece of fabric, to spill something on a tablecloth. And you need more than Sard Wonder Soap sometimes to get it out. And often it just leaves a mark. And we need to be careful, friends, because what James is saying is, don't be stained by the world. What does that mean? Well, it means to be careful, because we know how a stain can easily get onto a piece of fabric, and we know how easily we can be stained or tainted or something. So what James is saying is, be careful. Be careful. And I say, please be careful, because even association in some areas can cause trouble or a wrong interpretation. So keep yourself not soiled or dirty, as the Living says, by contacts with the world. Well, we need to be in the world. I mean, how are people going to hear about Jesus if we're not in the world? So we need to be in the world, but we need to be careful about how much we get involved in certain things. So friends, what does James say? Well, he says there's actions and reactions, and the rubber hits the road in a practical way. So let's be very, very careful. Temptation and trial. Don't get confused. Temptation comes from evil. Trial comes from God. Trial leads to making us more like Jesus. Temptation leads to failure and collapse. Let's be careful. Let's also be careful that we're not tricked by the one who comes as the angel of light, but is really the deceptor. Let's be careful about that. Hearing and speaking. We need to keep those two things in balance. Doers and hearers, we need to take in the word of God and put it into practice, because that's why we hear it. And then our words and our works. May our words and our behaviour measure up. James is a very practical person. Let's do what James says. Let's pray, first of all. Our Father, we are very conscious that the rubber has to hit the road for Christian thinking. And we realise that we can often be in a lot of trouble because the things we say don't measure up with what we do. the things we claim to belong to you are not always seen in the way they should be. And Father, sometimes we're just pretending. Sometimes we look in the mirror and see ourselves and we're more concerned about how we look than how we're living. Sometimes we're more concerned about what people see than the reality of who we are and that they see you. So help us, Father, to put these very simple things into practice and give us big ears and closed mouths. Help us to hear and to speak, but only to speak gently, quietly, and appropriately. Help us, Father, to hear your word and to see it. And help us, most of all, to be obedient to what we have heard today and allow your spirit to bring it to fruitfulness in our lives. We ask this, our Father, through Jesus, who is our Lord. Amen.